It's time for Packers Preview again. Talking about the Pack on KFAN. The Super Bowl, we're gonna win again. According to your host, David Sinekin, we'll win on the road. We'll win at home. We'll even win in
U.S. Bank Stadium.
Mike's fans can call if you've got the balls. The Packers Preview Show.
Time now for year 26 of Packer Preview, presented by Hudson Ford. Now, from the KFAN studios, here's the head cheese himself, Dave Sinekin.
Good morning, Packer fans, and welcome to the Week 18 edition, our first ever, of Packer Preview on the home of the Vikings and the sports leader, the Fan Radio Network and iHeartRadio. Great to be with you on this very first Week 18 of the NFL season and schedule, and for the Pack, it means absolutely nothing, which is exactly as we would have it. This will not be your typical Packer Preview where we break down whether Jared Goff or Tim Boyle is going to start at quarterback and the reunion of Jamal Williams, and how are we going to stop Amon St. Brown? No, none of that. Because as you know, the Packers locked up the number one seed, not only courtesy of their victory over the Vikings last week at Lambeau, that paired with the Arizona Cardinals win in Dallas, which knocked the Cowboys out of contention. Packers lock up the number one seed. The road to Super Bowl 56 runs through Lambeau Field. Green Bay will not play next week, and we will get set to see who the lowest seed remaining from Wild Card Weekend makes their way to Lambeau for the divisional round. So a different feel today. We will look at what we expect to see today, what we should see today, and all the major stories for this team as we get set for a really, really important pivotal postseason. This is, again, you can't ask for anything more than having home field advantage. And we all know what went down last year. It was a bit fluky with no fans. But we need to see a different end. We need to see a different result. We'll talk about who would we like to see, who do we not want to see, all that stuff coming up in the next hour. Plenty of time for phone calls today. We've got three lines full. Three are open, 651-989-5326 or toll-free 800-320-5326 if you would like to jump aboard. It is the fourth time in the last 6 years that the Packers will close the season at Ford Field. It does feel like we close at Detroit every year. In fact, I can't remember. Now, it's probably not been that long, but it feels like Green Bay never closes the season at home, right? It just has that feel to it. It's game number 185 in this long rivalry, this long series. Packers have won 103 of those games. It's the most versus any team. The Packers have not beaten any team more than they've beaten the Detroit Lions. They may not beat them today because they really don't care. And, you know, we shouldn't see our star players for all 60 minutes. You know, that's the big story, right, heading into this week. It's what do you do? Do you play Rodgers? Do you play Devontae Adams? What do you have to gain? Rest versus rust, our favorite week 17, now week 18 cliche for teams that have already clinched. What's the best path? You know, Matt LaFleur has been very vocal this week and very transparent about how he wants to play this week. He's studied this back when he was with the Rams when they were in a similar situation, and there's obviously two schools of thought. Do you want your stars to sit and not play for 3 weeks and then suddenly have to dial it up divisional weekend with everything on the line against a team that's coming in with momentum versus putting your guys out there and possibly getting them hurt? I was watching the Chiefs game yesterday against Denver, a game that it did mean something to Kansas City because they still hold out hope of the number one seed if the Titans slip up in Houston today. So Kansas City needed to win. It wasn't there's not a huge chance of Tennessee losing. They have lost to Houston earlier this season, but they had their guys out there, and Tyreek Hill hurt his heel in warmups, so he was not a factor. He kept trying to play, kept limping off, and then late in the game, very last series, I think, I saw Travis Kelce come up gimpy for the Chiefs and limp off the field, and it just got me thinking, that's the only thing that could wreck Sunday, is seeing one of the key players for the Pack coming up gimpy. And, you know, that's what you worry about. But in the end, it's football. And you got to play. You got to play your guys. And Matt LaFleur, I thought, explained very succinctly what his strategy is for today.
Well, I just want to see how the flow of the game goes. I would say that, yeah, I've put a lot of thought into it. But here's the reality. This is not preseason game number three where you have 75 guys or 70 guys in uniform. We've got 48 players, so the guys are going to play. There could be a couple guys that come out early, but I would say the majority of our football team, when you only have 48 helmets on game day, they're going to play the majority, if not the whole game.
And that makes sense, right? It is a numbers game. You can't rest your 22 starters. You don't have enough guys for that. We understand that. But there are certain players you don't want to put out there for 60 minutes in a game that means nothing. There is nothing to prove. There are statistics to gain and incentives to hit, and we'll talk about that. But here's what I'm thinking. There's a couple guys listed as questionable. Aaron Jones is questionable with a knee. Devondre Campbell, questionable with an elbow. I wouldn't play either of those guys. What's the point? They're dealing with something. There's no need to play those two guys today. So for me, you take those guys right out. David Moore, the punt returner. Let's talk about him for a second. What a revelation last week, right? Against the Vikes, where he caught the ball and he went forward and then got positive yardage. And there was no muffs. There was no indecision. It was really nice to see. We had talked about him in the show last week. You know, I wasn't sure he was a returner type guy. He's a bigger dude. He's like 6'2", 215, but man, that was nice to see. He got that late hit, which caused him a little pain. Looked like he was a little gimpy after that first return. Able to finish the game, but he is on the COVID list. He will not play today. But just, you know, nice to know come playoff time that, you know, we've got a guy back there. He's been in the league for a while, and he's not going to freak you out when teams punt to the pack. So he will not play today either. As far as Aaron Rodgers goes and Davante Adams, my guess, complete guess, is they play one quarter and maybe into the second quarter. I'll be really surprised if Adams and Rodgers play the entire first half. My guess, it's one quarter. Rodgers gets Adams the receiving record. He's 22 yards behind Jordy Nelson for the most receiving yards in a season for the Pack. And granted, it's an 18-game season, so all the records now are going to have asterisks. That's sports. I remember when the baseball went from 154 to 162, and everybody was up in arms. And when the NFL went from 14 to 16, all the records, 1,000 yards rushing doesn't mean anything anymore now. That's just the way it is. You know, time marches on, and records get switched to different players because of that. So let's not worry about that. Adams will break Jordy's record. 22 yards is all he needs. And then he sits. There's nothing to prove. The main thing is, you get ready for the game all week, right? You treat it like a regular week. You practice, you game plan, you warm up, you get out there and play, and you break a sweat, and then number 12 and number 17, please take a seat. That's the way I look at it. If you're looking at a couple other guys that I would look at pulling early, you'd like to look at the other receivers that have become so vital, but there's just not enough receivers out there. So Lazard, MVS, you know, they'll probably play most of the game. And you know, we'll talk about getting a look at Jordan Love. You want Love to have some nice targets to throw to as well if you want to get a good idea of how he plays against an opponent that, make no mistake, the Lions are going to play hard today for their coach. This is their Super Bowl. They understand the Packers don't have a lot of motivation, but they're not going to play with any hesitation. They are going to play hard. They are going to play to win, and it's going to be a good chance to see what Jordan Love can do against a motivated opponent. So I think those receivers play. But defensively, you know, I would pull Kenny Clark, he's had a ton of snaps this season. He is vital come playoff time, obviously. I wouldn't give Clark much more than a quarter. The pass rushers, Preston Smith and Rashawn Gary. You know, we'll talk about the injured guys and who will come back when. I'm the least positive about Za'Darius Smith. I don't think Za'Darius Smith's coming back. He has not practiced yet. All the other guys have returned to practice on some level, except Billy Turner, who I think would have this week, but he landed on the COVID list. So there's not much pass rush behind those two guys. Last thing we want to do is lose Preston Smith and Rashawn Gary. So I wouldn't let those guys play the whole game. And, you know, again, in the secondary, boy, just hate to lose one of those starting corners, one of those starting safeties, because, you know, you lose Amos or Savage and you're down to Black and Scott, and there's just a huge drop off there. So if it's me, I'd pull those guys at least at halftime. And as far as the cornerbacks go, again, it is a numbers game, like Coach LaFleur said. But, you know, Stokes and Douglas are key. And we'll talk about Jair in a minute, who will not play today. I'd be cautious that you still have some warm bodies. So we'll see. My hunch is, though, the big guys, Adams and Rodgers, I'll be really surprised if we see more than a quarter from them. Lots of Patrick Taylor at running back today. I think we'll see a lot of Juwan Winfrey, the wide receiver, Equanimeous St. Brown, Tyler Davis, the tight end. Amari Rodgers should get some run at receiver today. Dominique Daphne, those kind of guys, the depth guys, should get a lot of run in a game like this. Also, the Packers activated off of the practice squad defensive lineman Abdullah Anderson and linebacker Ladarius Hamilton. Both of those guys are sure to get a whole lot of work today. The big news that broke yesterday is the Packers offensive line is going to look a little different today. Center Josh Myers returns. Now, haven't said he's going to start, but my hunch is he does. So the rookie who got hurt in week 6, second-round pick out of Ohio State, is back. Again, be shocked if he played the whole game. I think you get him out there and play him a quarter, a little more. You get Lucas Patrick back in there. Maybe Patrick starts and they put Myers in late. Whatever it is, he'll be back out there. But, of course, I've buried the lead because the big news yesterday was the return of left tackle David Bakhtiari. He will play today, barring any pregame setbacks. He is good to go. He's been tweeting the last 24 hours that he's back. Back is back. And, boy, what a sight for sore eyes. Again, we've talked about this last week. What a terrific job Yosh Nyman has done stepping in once Big E Elton Jenkins went down. Packers down to their third left tackle. And the first couple weeks, I was playing the Rams, tough front sevens. And Green Bay was giving him a little help, but he was holding his own. And he has really developed into a guy that looks like he will be a starting tackle at some point. And Green Bay might decide, you know, if Turner's not ready when the playoffs start, to move him over to right tackle in place of Dennis Kelly. That's something we'll talk about as we go on. But he's given the pack some nice assurance that they've got another tackle there they can use if they need. But David Bakhtiari, my guess is, starts at left tackle. And again, a quarter is probably all you need to see. You know, he plays as long as Rodgers plays. Get out there, knock off the rust, see how the knee feels. He'll probably want to stay in as long as he's feeling well. But man, number 69 going to be out there at left tackle. And what a huge lift for this Packers team. And that's, of course, been that underlying story that, you know, Green Bay's got the best record in football and they've got four Pro Bowlers that basically haven't played all season. And they hope to get, you know, two or three of those guys back when the games matter most. So Bakhtiari back, Josh Myers back. As I said, Jair Alexander will not play today. They want to be absolutely sure that that shoulder is 100%. And by all accounts, he'll be back for the playoffs. I mean, he's been out practicing. They've had him play wide receiver, too. He's playing both sides of the ball. So if you're that worried about Jair's shoulder, why are you putting him out there and running him on both sides of the ball? So I think it's a really good sign. And it'll be interesting to see what they do with Alexander. There's that the storyline of, you know, you got two really nice outside corners right now. Do you move Jair inside? I say no. Much more physical inside, much more chance to get that shoulder knocked around playing inside. My guess is they would move Rasul Douglas inside and have Alexander and Stokes man the outside corners. And you can, you know, move that around, and matchups might dictate some of that. If you're playing a team with a really good slot receiver and you're feeling confident about Jair, maybe you do move him in to deal with that guy. But boy, what an addition that's going to be for this Packers defense to get Jair Alexander back, a top five cornerback in this league. Green Bay will also get back Randall Cobb come playoff time. My guess is if this was a playoff game today, Cobb would be good to go. He's been practicing for a couple of weeks after that core muscle surgery. But Matt LaFleur this week said absolutely no reason to get him out there in a game like this. We want him ready in 2 weeks. And again, you just sort of forget, right? We knew we lost Tonyan for the season. When Cobb went down after having really started to become productive in this offense, now, several weeks later, you kind of forget about Randall Cobb, and you know, he'll be back in 2 weeks. So, no need to play him in a game like this, but he will be back, I think, in 2 weeks, whether the Pack plays Saturday or Sunday, and we'll talk about who they might face and all that. We're going to have Myers and Bakhtiari back on the O-line. You'll have Cobb back at receiver. You will have Jair back at corner, and I would think Billy Turner back at tackle as well. That's a little more questionable because he has not practiced yet. And as I said, he's been on the COVID list, and I'm sure we'll learn a whole lot more here in the next 10, 11 days about his health. But boy, this team, they can get through today with no catastrophic injuries. They will be in fine shape getting set for a playoff run where both games would run through Lambeau Field with a shot at Super Bowl 56. And right now, the Packers are the betting favorite to win the Vince Lombardi Trophy. That's exactly where you would like to be. We'll pause here. We'll come back. We'll take some calls. We'll talk about some of the big incentives some of the players could hit today. We'll talk some Aaron Rodgers have been in the news this week. Lots to come as we get set for the season finale.
Well, I'm proud to be a Packer fan. The best football fans in all the land are Packer fans.
Packer Previews brought to you by JTR Roofing and Hudson Ford.
All right, come on. Green, remember that, just in case we have face-to-face mass contact. And the man on deep, that's Red G, one of the guys quarterbacks hope they don't see. So don't think you'll beat the pack, cause you're wrong. Antonio's behind you, boy, the man is gone. Leafy Lambo's never silent, getting ready to jam on all NFC violence. But yo, we ain't on no box office list. 20,000 fans waiting for tickets that don't exist. January 29th, watch the pack.
We are back, 8:21 on a Sunday morning. It's Packer Preview on The Fan, the Week 18 edition. 26 seasons, we've never had a Week 18 edition. We do know we will not be on next week. It's a bye week for the Pack. It's a bye week for Packer Preview. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Regardless of when the Pack plays, we'll be on Sunday at 8 o'clock. So if it is a Saturday game, it'll be a Packer Review. My hunch is the Pack will play Sunday, especially if it ends up being a team like Dallas, the Rams, Tampa. You can guarantee that'll be the last game Sunday in 2 weeks. Regardless, we're off next week. We're back 2 weeks from this morning at 8 o'clock for the divisional round edition of Packer Preview. Man, who would have thought heading into this season in August after the offseason we had to deal with as Packer fans, will he, won't he? He said, she said that we'd be sitting here with a bye, the best record in football, with all the players that have not played, not just players, the All-Pro and Pro Bowl players that have not played virtually this entire season. Just a credit to this organization, and we're going to see all kinds of hardware come this organization's way. Aaron Rodgers will win his second straight MVP award unless there are 50 guys named Hub Arkush voting for the award this week. That blew up this week when the Chicago sports writer, a Pro Football Weekly guy, went public with his thoughts that, you know, he basically dismissed Aaron Rodgers as a candidate back in August, calls him a jerk, biggest jerk in the league, blah, blah, blah. My opinion is he should lose his vote. That's, to me, disqualifying behavior. You don't have to like a guy, but the qualifications for the MVP is what the guy does on the football field. And it's not like, you know, he murdered his wife. You know, he took a stand. He was dishonest. We can talk about, you know, spreading, you know, what I believe is disinformation about the virus and all that. We can have that conversation. It has nothing to do with the MVP. And he's clearly the MVP. He'll win the award easily, I believe. And I don't think Arca should vote anymore. Only 50 people get to vote for this award. There are votes like the Heisman Trophy where like hundreds of people vote for the Heisman Trophy. It's not as big a deal when one Yahoo sounds off. But when you've got one of 50 coveted votes for the MVP and you go public, he knows he blew it, and he knows he's under a lot of scrutiny, and he deserves to lose that that right, that privilege to vote for the most valuable player, in my opinion. And the fact that he's a Bears guy probably weighs into how badly he feels about Rodgers, but Rodgers will win MVP. Comes down to Coach of the Year and Executive of the Year. This will be interesting. I think Goody absolutely should be Executive of the Year. Who's he up against? Bill Belichick, maybe, you know, for drafting Mac Jones and bringing in those free agents on defense and getting a team into the playoffs that I think a lot of people believed was at least a year away. And he's Bill Belichick. You know, he's the greatest that ever has done it. So he's up there, Les Snead with the Rams, getting Stafford and mortgaging his future. To me, that's not impressive. You know, okay, I'll give away all my draft picks for the next 5 years to build the best fantasy football team on offense and defense, and we'll give it a run. No, what Gutekunst has done, to me, dealing with a roster that's without most of its star players. Well, not most, but seven Pro Bowlers last year, four of them basically haven't played this year. And, you know, we know what he did with no cap money, you know, to try to craft a roster by finding guys off the street, like Devondre Campbell, the player of the month defensively in October, who's been a absolute godsend on that defense. And obviously the Rasul Douglas pickup in October may have saved this Packers defense in light of the fact that Alexander has not played. and the draft this year, and the draft the last couple years with Gary and Savage a couple years ago in the first round. You know, Josh Myers, the center, was looking really good, the second round pick this year, until he got hurt. You know, and then, you know, obviously Eric Stokes has been an absolute home run, number one pick at corner. So I think Gutekunst should win this award. You know, and again, he's the guy that, you know, some speculated Rodgers wanted gone. They seem to have completely turned around that relationship there. If you hear Rodgers talk about his relationship with Gutekunst, it sounds like it's never been stronger. So in my opinion, navigating the whole Aaron Rodgers situation with, I think, you being stoic about it, not going public, just doing his job, to me, Gutekunst, again, we're closer to the situation. Of course, we believe he should win, but I think he makes a really strong case. And then it comes down to Matt LaFleur at Coach of the Year, where he's the second favorite right now behind Zach Taylor in Cincinnati, whose team went 4-11-1 last year, and they won the AFC North this year. And I can listen to that. It's funny because there were fans calling for his firing after last season, and even early this season there were boo birds during Bengals games. And I'm not going to argue. I mean, sure, I'll make a case for him for turning that team around. When you've got Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, you're not going to get a whole lot of love from a lot of people for Coach of the Year. But again, same situation. Let's just go back 3 years. LaFleur was hired 3 years ago yesterday. And, you know, I've talked ad nauseum about how I felt about the hire. I was unimpressed. I was unmoved. The press conference made me even less assured because he looked like a, you know, a 15-year-old kid that just stole somebody's lunch money. When he got up under the lights, he just looked like, what am I doing here? Did I really just get this job? And we all know what he's done in three seasons. He's taken a quarterback who was coming off a 6-9-1 season, who looked bored with everything, who looked like, you know, he might not be coachable anymore, and has reinvigorated his career to the tune of two MVPs. Many forget where Rodgers was in the eyes of the NFL world 3 years ago. And LaFleur deserves the majority, the lion's share of the credit for Rodgers resurrecting his career the way he has, bringing in that offense, knowing how to coach him, knowing how to motivate him, to say nothing of taking this roster this year that Gutekunst supplied him with and pushing all the right buttons. He has coached three seasons and has yet to lose back-to-back games. That's, to me, it's unbelievable for a guy that never was a head coach on any level before he got this job. And we know he's won 13 games in three straight seasons. That's never happened before. A win today, and he ties Mike Ditka with the most wins ever in a three-year span. Now, I don't think the Packers win today because I don't think they care. I think the Lions care a whole lot more, and I think he will pull a number of players early. I don't think it matters. But I could listen to Zach Taylor. I could also listen to Mike Vrabel, whose Titans are on the verge of getting the number one seed, and he lost Derrick Henry midway through the year. And they've also been hit with a ton of injuries. A.J. Brown, Julio Jones. You look at the skill position players you know about. So I'm not going to have my heart broken if LaFleur doesn't win this award. My hunch is he doesn't win it, again, because of having Aaron Rodgers. But I think for all of us listening, we believe he is the Coach of the Year for taking this team and where it was all summer to where it is now. So that'll be interesting to see once the season is over. We talked about incentives and you know, playing guys today because they have money to make. None bigger than Preston Smith, who is one sack away from his 10th sack of the year, which will earn him not only a $750,000 bonus this year, but adds $500,000 to his base salary next year. Now, this is a guy that was, you know, likely going to get cut heading into the season because of salary cap issues. He took less money. He took a lesser deal to come back and prove it, and he proved it. And he's been absolutely fantastic in a year where the Packers did not have Za'Darius Smith. He and Rashawn Gary have been a terrific bookend pair of pass rushers, and Smith is one sack away. He gets that sack today, then he can take a seat, as far as I am concerned. Talked about Devontae Adams needs 22 yards to pass Jordy Nelson for the all-time receiving yards record. Get that. He sits down. Rodgers has a number of incentives where he can hit, if he's like top three in the league at completion percentage, touchdown passes, a couple of other, but it's like chicken scratch. It's like, you know, 100 grand here, 150 grand there. I don't know that it's a huge deal for him. You know, maybe he just wants to be able to say he's done it, and that's the kind of guy I think he is. But again, they're not going to keep him out there to hit some incentives to pay him 100 grand. That's just, you know, not in the best interest of anybody. Again, as I said earlier, my hunch is he plays a quarter along with Devontae, and then Jordan Love gets the call. Speaking of calls, let's see what a couple you have on your mind. Take them in the order we got them. That means we begin up in Maple Grove as our friend Dave joins the program. Good morning.
Good morning, kind sir. How are you?
Doing great. Looking for a nice stress-free Sunday afternoon today.
You know, I don't remember the last game of the year, stress-free game. That has been... Was it the last time we got the number one seed that the last game of the year was stress-free for us, if I'm not mistaken?
Where we didn't have to worry about the last week where you got the one seed before week 17. Yeah, it's been a while. I have to do the homework, but yeah, it has been a while for sure.
It really has. Projecting to the future, let's, hypothetically, Aaron Rodgers comes back next year. The fences are mended and he decides the best place and the most likely place for him to win a Super Bowl is Green Bay. They get fences mended. They sign in. So obviously we'll have to trade Jordan Love. What realistically can we get for Jordan Love? Let's say he goes out and plays scintillatingly well today. What can we get? Second and a fourth?
Yeah, you're not going to get a number one for sure. Maybe a second. So I'm going to let you go. Would you have any prediction or anything else, Dave, before I let you go?
Yeah, let's go ahead and win this 31-24. It's a win.
All right, sounds good. All right, I'm still not 100% sure Rodgers comes back. Okay, I hope he does. I think the prevailing momentum is that he does. But for this our conversation, we'll say he comes back. They will have to redo his deal. Obviously, next year, he's last year of his deal. It's worth a ton of money on the cap. So they would have to tear that up and sign him to a 3 or 4 year deal or even 5 backloaded, whatever magic Russ Ball can do to make the salary cap a little more manageable. So if they commit to Rodgers, because I think he wants to come back, but he wants to be the guy for the next 3 or 4 years. I don't blame him. You win back-to-back MVPs, you deserve it. And for my money, Gutekunst should say, look, we drafted Jordan Love because we liked him. We weren't sure where you were in your career. The last couple of years hadn't been so good. We had to protect the franchise, but obviously you proved that you had a back act, a second act, a third act, whatever it might be, left in your career. We think you're good for a few more years, so we'll move on from Jordan Love. There are a number of teams that I think would take a swing at Jordan Love, but, you know, even maybe a second, you know, if a team like Pittsburgh, which isn't picking at the top of the, they're more of a middle of the pack draft, it's not a high second round pick, it's a middle, maybe they're a team that would part with a second and a fourth. I think that's about right. I think that's about all you can expect, and strange as it sounds, yeah, I think a lot might go into how he plays today. It's probably not fair. It's probably kind of stupid. And, you know, I don't know how many weapons they'll keep out there for Love today. How many linemen will he? Is he going to have all backup linemen? Now, you don't have 10 linemen, so they're going to have a number of the starters in for most of the game. But, you know, how many receivers, main guys are going to be out there? How much practice has he had with these guys? So it's not necessarily a real fair thing to say, well, whatever he does today is going to get people excited. I think no more than a 2 and a 5, 2 and a 4, 2 and a player, bit player, something like that, would be what you'd get. And I'd say, yeah, I think most of us listening would agree that would be the ideal scenario in this offseason, is to commit to Rodgers for another deal and to move on from Love. And that's what you do when you draft quarterbacks. You draft as many as you can. Ron Wolf always said, draft one every year. Take as many as you can because they're hard to find, and they're a diamond in the rough, and when you find one, they can be worth a whole lot. So I think that's an interesting question, and I just hope that's what we're talking about in the offseason, is what can you get for Jordan Love because there's a new deal done for Aaron Rodgers. To Shakopee we go. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Looking for a game today. We come out of it injury-free, but... you know, we've been talking about Aaron and probably will get his fourth MVP season. And I got a couple comments I want to talk about. So I think this year, you know, he does get it. But of the four, I think this is his best MVP season. You mean, other years, we've, you know, it's been nothing fancy this year. But considering how everything started out and stuff and all the injuries to the offensive line and everything that's happened, I think of the four, this is his best MVP season. And my other comment I want to make is, again, we saw another slow start by the offense. And, you know, after thinking about that over the past week, you know, everything is scripted, you know, between, you know, he and LaFleur. Is it because of the scripting that is why we're getting off to the slow start? Is it LaFleur? or is Aaron doing the check down and changing the plays? Just get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Enjoy the game today in a stress-free environment. It's a good question. It is a concern, and it was a concern watching the game against the Vikings last Sunday night, turning the ball over on downs early, settling for field goals early against a lousy defense at home with everything to play for. Why is this offense getting off to a slow start? I obviously don't know the answer. Typically, teams are strongest right away when you've scripted the first 15 plays and you've got a game plan set, and that you see a lot of times you see offenses just roll down the field their first drive, and then maybe things bog down just a bit as the game goes on. That's just not the way it's gone with Green Bay. I don't know. It probably is the fact that there might be a script, but it does get changed, and you try different things, and that is something that we'd love to see get cleaned up, but obviously we're running out of time for that, and once you get to that one-and-done situation, a turnover on downs in the first quarter might come back and haunt you. So, you know, there's been so much to be so excited about this season. That's not the worst thing in the world to get off to a slow start, especially since we know we're going to be at home the next two games. And that certainly is a huge help. If you are slow starting, that crowd, that environment is going to help you kind of get your act together. But I don't know. It is a really good question. As far as this being Rodgers' best season, it is kind of hard to argue. It's been remarkable, just the touchdown interception ratio, the fact that he's worked with 4/5 of his offensive line out for a good chunk of the season. You know, I got an email from John who says, I'm cool with Rodgers as MVP, but what's the criteria? Why is Brady not considered? Well, Brady is considered. He'll probably finish second. So why do you give Rodgers the edge over Brady? Well, to me, in part, you know, you do look at the fact that Rodgers has played without his offensive line. I mean, that's his all-pro left tackle, the best left tackle in the business, or arguable, hasn't played all season. And then his backup goes down midseason. Then your right tackle goes down. And you're playing with a rookie at right guard, a second-year, third-day draft pick at left guard. John Runyon has been terrific. And, you know, your backup center has come in because your rookie got hurt, Myers. So that's huge to me, to put up MVP numbers without a good chunk of your offensive line. Brady, his team, until the last few weeks, has been healthy. He's got an all-star group of receivers that Rodgers has the best receiver in the business. But after that, we all know it's some journeyman-type players. I love Lazard. I love MBS. But when you look at what he had, Evans, Godwin, Antonio Brown, Gronk, I mean, come on. You know, nice conditions, a strong offensive line. Just, you know, he's been really good. But his numbers do not measure up to Aaron Rodgers and what he has done with some difficult circumstances. So that's why, to me, Rodgers get the edge. And I'd put Cooper Kupp in the conversation, Jonathan Taylor, all those guys deserve consideration. But to me, it's a slam dunk that Rodgers wins number 4. We'll break here. We'll come back. Final segment, we'll look at the playoff scenarios in the NFC. What could happen today that might put an interesting perspective on who might come into Lambeau in 2 weeks? Who do we want to play? Who do we fear? We'll chat about that when we come back for the final segment of Packer Preview right after these.
The first Super Bowls ever played. I love my Green Bay Packers.
Packer Preview is brought to you by Hudson Ford.
Well, there's a town in Wisconsin. It's not quite as big as L.A. We got something they don't have, and we're gonna see them today. Go, you Packers, go, go. Go, you
All right, back with you, 8:45, final segment of the Week 18 edition of Packer Preview. Packers, Lions, who will play, who won't play? They're all going to play. It's how much will they play? I think Rodgers and Adams play about a quarter. We'll see if they stay out longer. That's what I would do. Get them out there, break a sweat, and put the caps on and get ready for the divisional round. We'll get to the scenarios in just a second. I want to get to a couple calls before we run out of time, beginning with our buddy 1265 Lombardi Guy. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. First off, I got to give a shout-out to my NDSU Bison football team.
Yeah.
Ninth championship in 11 seasons.
Way to go, green and gold in the college ranks.
That's right. That's right. Hey, when you and I talked week one, we talked about a couple of guys that I felt needed to step up their game. One was Aaron Jones because he got the contract, and we know of the injury midway through the season. Thankfully, he was able to come back, but his touchdown production, both in the receiving and the rushing was there this year, down in the rushing yards. But I think we kind of anticipated that because of how A.J. Dillon came on last year, and it's been a great 1-2 combination for our rushing game, sharing the ball. And then the other guy was Rashawn Gary. I said this guy needs double-digit sacks. He finally needs to step up in year three and show his value. And, boy, has he shown up. He's up in tackles. He's up in QB sacks more than double, or QB hits more than double, and here he is at 9.5 sacks. He has a chance to get the double digits, and I know that's a little bit of a product of Za'Darius Smith being out, but he has stepped up his game for this defense.
Yeah, he's been a top five pass rusher this season in the league. If you look at quarterback hurries, he's been about as disruptive as just about anybody, and what a leap he has taken playing back in his home state today. I know he wants to get out there and play a lot, but I hope he doesn't play a ton because he is vital, vital when it comes to the quarterbacks Green Bay is going to face in the playoffs, regardless of who comes to Lambeau, whether it's Dak, Stafford, Brady, Kyler Murray, Garoppolo. We need Gary out there. He's proven to be a star, and that's been a wonderful thing to watch because I, as you all know listening to me, I was not a fan of the pick when they made it, and I am thrilled that I was completely wrong about that.
Very, very key to this defense. And how about we didn't mention the defense. We didn't mention the hire of Joe Barry. We all were unsure what was going to happen this year with Joe Barry coming in. We knew the track record was a little bit sketchy, but we know that he didn't quite have the talent at the places he was at. I think Joe Barry needs a ton of credit alongside of Gutekunst, LaFleur, and Rodgers.
It's a great point. Thanks, 1265. Another hire that I was less than excited about, again, because of what he had done in Washington, Detroit. But, you know, LaFleur had knowledge of him from his days in L.A. He's grown, and there's been some warts, certainly. But, man, I feel a whole lot more confident in this defense than the one I did a year ago. Even though the defense last year in that title game picked off Brady three times and did most of what we wanted, we still can't shake Kevin King at the end of the first half and how that really changed the momentum. Barry was a terrific hire. And a big reason why Green Bay is sitting where they are. To Brown Deer, Wisconsin we go. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning, Davey. Boy, you jumped right in today. You didn't even give us a satisfaction about talking about the Packers' demolition of the Vikings and how satisfying that was.
Yeah, no, it was. And it's funny because producer Brett Blakemore wanted to play some highlights of the game because it's always fun to beat the Vikes, but I don't know. Rear view mirror, you know, we had already won the division. We expected to win that game without Kirk Cousins and a team that's going to undergo a lot of changes. It's always nice to beat the Purple, especially in prime time, but bigger fish to fry, bigger story. So I kind of left that one in the rear view mirror.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, my biggest takeaway from that game was the resurgence of how the defense played in that game. The run defense was tremendous. They really held Cook in check. Yeah. The tackling was much better. And like I had mentioned last week, getting Kevin King back really helped that secondary. I've got a couple thoughts on what I want to see the rest of the way out for Packers. And one is if we have Jair and Kevin King, we will not be seeing number 24 and number 41 on the defensive side of the ball, which gives us a much better chance. I think if you watch the game, that you're probably going to see those guys. And you're probably going to see how really tremendously awful they are. So hopefully we don't see them at all after today's game. And go Pack.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Yeah, thanks for the call. You're right. It does help with the depth. And Yadam and some of the backup safeties, yeah, we don't want to see them on the field come playoff time. That is for sure. Run defense was great against Dalvin Cook. But again, I weigh that with the fact that Sean Mannion didn't make you really worry about the passing game a whole lot. So I'll give them credit, but I still am going to be a little concerned if Leonard Fournette's rolling in healthy and whether the Pack can do their thing and make sure that he doesn't beat them. All right, so if the playoffs started today, we would have a trio of games next week, including Philly at the Rams, the Niners at the Buccaneers, and the Cardinals at Dallas. And the lowest winning team, a seed, would come into Green Bay. So if Philly were to shock the Rams, they'd come into Green Bay. That's not going to happen. If the Niners were to go into Tampa and win, they would come to Green Bay. That would not shock me. And I actually believe it sounds, I saw something on ESPN this morning. It looks like Jimmy Garoppolo is going to start with the thumb injury. They've beaten the Rams five straight times. And I would not at all be surprised if they took down the Rams today. And if the Niners are in the playoffs, that's a team that I don't know. I just worry about, because they'll just run it 80 times a game, and they've got that pass rush, and they can make things a little interesting. So my prediction is it doesn't go the way it's going today. I think the Niners are going to beat the Rams, which means Philly, the 7 seed, goes to number 2, Tampa Bay, assuming they win. San Francisco, the 6 seed, would go to number 3, Arizona, assuming they win. And L.A. and Dallas would meet next week. And, you know, I think Green Bay either plays the Niners or they play the Cowboys. And, man, if it's the Cowboys, could you imagine the ratings for that game? Dallas, Green Bay, divisional round, Mike McCarthy coming back to Green Bay. That's the storyline that all NFL and network executives are dreaming. The Fox guys are dreaming that that's the way it shakes out. The team that I fear most, and Brett, I'll bring you in to see what you think. To be honest, I think Green Bay is sitting in a great spot, but I still fear Tom Brady more than anything. And I know he's lost his weapons. He doesn't have Antonio Brown or Chris Godwin. Fournette's hurt, but I think he'll be back. That defense with Vita Vea just got paid $73 million in the middle of that front. They still scare me, and Brady scares me. So that's the team I fear most. Secondly, it's San Francisco, which is weird as it sounds. I just think they're a fluky kind of an offense that you don't face. No other NFC team runs the ball like they do. That's the blueprint, I think, to beat the Packers D, is a really strong running team. So those two teams scare me the most. How about you?
I'd love to have this great revolutionary back and forth, but it's the correct take, because you can't count out Tom Brady. And no matter what seems to happen in his season, he finds a way to be competitive. He finds a way to be in it. And he's one of the guys that I fear the most coming into Lambeau and actually being a factor. I don't think the Cowboys want to play in Green Bay at this point. I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo wants to play in Green Bay at this point. Tom Brady can play in the cold. He's been a cold quarterback for years and years in New England. He's no stranger to the cold, and he came in last year. Maybe it's PTSD from last year. I don't know. To me, I'm worried about Tom Brady. Also, if we cared about winning this game, which we don't, the last time the Packers have beat the Lions by more than a touchdown in Detroit, 2011. For whatever reason, the Lions always play the Packers tough. So I would not expect them to roll over and then play, you know, all backups in the second, because they're rolling them over. I think they play all backups because they don't care.
No, it's an interesting point, and I think we all remember some losses in Detroit and a lot of really tight games. And remember a game a couple of years ago where Green Bay never led till the last play of the game in a game they really needed. Detroit's going to win this game today. I'm certain of it. They're going to play hard for Matt Campbell. They care a whole lot more than Green Bay. LaFleur can talk all he wants about playing his starters, and he only has 48, you know, guys in uniform. I get that. But his stars are not going to play in the second half. You're not going to see Preston Smith and Rashawn Gary in the second half. You certainly won't see Rodgers and Adams. So let's not worry about it. Let's make sure no one's limping, no one's hurt. This team comes out of this game unscathed and gets 2 weeks to get set for a chance at earning a spot in the Super Bowl by winning 2 home games at Lambeau. We're right where we want to be. Let's stay healthy. Let's have some fun, and let's enjoy.